What is going on, gents? It's your boy Crimson here. I finally figured out where I got my intro from.
Red Pill Married. I think it was something that he said or something that he did that kind of like sparked. It doesn't matter. Let's watch this.
They hold themselves as different.
You got any ID?
Smile for me. Well, you look nice when you smile.
Why won't you fucking smile for me?
And it's been Highlights Daily. Shout out to the Patreon supporters and disturbing to watch. For those who are unfamiliar with this series, let's provide you with a brief overview.
Hold on. I think I commented on someone in this section. Why isn't it showing the comment section? Interesting. Ah, there it is. Man's power fantasy is being the hero and saving the day. Women's power fantasy is being a villain and getting away with it, or getting away with crime. Oh shit, just bad. Fast forwarded a lot.
Suddenly find themselves in possession of something that is making them feel invincible.
Teenage girls are developing a new organ.
One that generates electricity.
You got this thing?
We all do.
After writing the book, one of the most important things to me about taking it to the screen was that it would be able to create images of women doing things that we haven't seen before.
What did you do?
I was living in constant fear. Now I feel 100 times stronger.
I really wanted to make images of a world in which all the women are just strong.
Please, fellas, remember this part right here. She wanted to make images of a world where all the women are just strong. Keep this in mind. I'll come back to this later.
The way that they hold themselves.
By the way, we're not going to get that far. I just wanted to show you this. Because I just want to show you this for a reason.
It's different.
You got any ID?
You have any fucking ID? You have any fucking idea where your fucking ID's at?
Smile for me.
Why don't you fucking smile for me? My name's Jason Statham. I'm a transporter. I transport people. And I transport items. Oh, and by the way, I'm fucking gay.
Well, you look nice when you smile.
Power isn't good, it's not bad. It just changes the game for everyone, men and women, in every gender.
Where were men like you when I didn't have electricity coming out of my hands? It's not just...
Real world of transporting. You never look inside a woman's pussy.
About gender, it's also wherever there is an imbalance of power in the world, whether that's oppressed people, giving everyone a chance to rise up and have a voice.
Power isn't good, it's not bad.
Hold on, sorry, I need to see something.
It just changes the game for everyone, men and women, in every gender.
Where were men like you when I didn't have electricity?
Jesus fucking Christ, look, here's the thing that I don't understand about women. For as much as they talk about fucking mansplaining, they're explaining the fucking trailer to a movie or a program or whatever the fuck this is about women with power. I mean, it should literally just... The power. That should explain it all, right? But they have a whole fucking cast and crew of women explaining, like, the dynamic of the movie before we even get to experience the movie. And they're the ones telling us that we mansplain.
Just about gender, it's also wherever there is an imbalance of power in the world, whether that's oppressed people.
Damn it, I fucking missed it. Any case, I thought it was a Legionnaire with a green beret and a Legionnaire symbol. It wasn't. It was a fucking somebody else.
A chance to rise up and have a voice,
represented in this case by women.
You don't get to tell us.
This is the most exciting cast I've ever been a part of.
Dude, have you ever seen so much explaining in a goddamn theater? Watch, check this out. The reason why I bring this up is watch this shit.
Hey,
murder hole. We'll see you on the beach.
We're looking for a private change, Ryan. I don't know anything about Ryan. I don't care. Finding him so he can go home. If that earns me the right to get back to my wife, well, then that's my mission.
I mean, where's the sense of risking the lives of the eight of us to save one guy?
Captain just gave you an order.
Yeah,
I think I want to get to take this machine gun.
Yes, sir, that was one hell of a call coming to take this nest, but the hell, we lost one of our guys going for it. Knowing that little Jimmy's life is a little bit more important than two of our guys.
Just know that every man I kill, the farther away from home I feel.
Doesn't make any sense, sir. Why? Why do I deserve to go? Why not any of these guys? They all fought just as hard as me.
I have my orders too, sir. They don't include me abandoning my post.
That was the theatrical trailer to Saving Private Ryan. Did it need the fucking director's commentary? Did it need any of Tom Hanks's? How about this? Fuck this shit.
It's been 2 years since I've seen home. 2 years.
At 0600 hours, we will begin training to go to war.
This is not dog company. This is easy company.
The first and finest company in this regiment.
Each trooper will learn this operation by heart and know his mission to the detail.
We're heading Europe, my friend.
All you have to do is remember what you were taught.
And I guarantee you gravity will take care of the rest.
We are on the eve of the largest action in the history of warfare.
It's Normandy.
We all do our jobs. Everything will be fine.
Scared. We're all scared.
What made you decide to join the paratroopers?
Fire! I wanted to fight with the best, sir.
Tonight, we're going to have to cross the river.
These crowds are going to catch some hell.
We're going to have to find another way into Germany.
Easy, you'll head up the mountain through the Obersalzberg.
Take the Eagle's Nest.
Man, it's been a long war. It's been a tough war. We fought bravely, proudly for your country. We're a special group. We found in one another a bond. It exists only in combat.
Why is it? Why is it that men have movies of self-sacrifice? Fuck, I could play Man of Steel right now. I could play any one of the fucking scenes and it's literally Kal-El losing. Do you want to know why? Do you want to know why Kal-El was so upset when he had to fucking kill that one guy who was going to like snap the neck of I can't remember what the situation was, but Kal-El was like, "Dude, I have to either snap your neck in order to prevent you from fucking killing this human being." He was upset because he had to kill the only fucking leader of the race of people that he came from, and he was the only guy that can give him any kind of mentorship. Does that make any sense? To most of you guys are probably rejecting that idea. But dude, the guy is alone. He's the only of his species that he knows of. And then all of a sudden, his own species is coming to Earth to conquer his planet. And he just figured out his own powers. Because for the most of his life, he's been told to repress it. He's been told to not fucking use it. So he doesn't really know his abilities. He's kind of an infant. And then all of a sudden, this fucking alien species is like, yeah, we've been able to do this for millions and millions of years. Like, we have tons of experience and tons of training, and you know, we've lost a planet, so we have no fucking heart left. And Kal-El is just like, well, what the fuck? Like, dude, can you teach me before you fucking just decide to just invade my fucking home? So, in a sense, he's trying to stop them from doing what they're doing to an extent of, like, teach me what you know. That's why he's unable to defeat them. Is because he's brand new at what he knows. He doesn't know the limitless. Literally, the ceiling does not exist to Superman's power. But he fucking stops it. Dude, I can go on. I can go on. I can literally go on. My point is that when men create a movie or anything, it is of self-sacrifice. It is literally like Batman Beyond, Batman Begins, Batman Forever, whatever fucking Batman you want to watch. It is literally the boy of a broken heart who tries to avenge his fucking parents. Who tries to right the wrongs that his parents could not. It doesn't matter how many times they rewrite the comic about a rich boy who tries to fight crime. You know, there at one point somebody wrote the comic of like Bruce Wayne just went insane and his butler just tried to humor him, and so therefore he painted his face as the Joker to try to just like humor him, and all of his acting buddies try to get in on it just to give him like some sort of grace, some sort of fucking like something to fight for. And then when he reveals himself as like, hey, I'm the Joker, and fucking Bruce Wayne couldn't accept it. He just kept dressing up as the Joker. Even then, it's literally self-sacrifice. It's literally Alfred self-sacrificing for himself, for Bruce Wayne. How about the Punisher? Fuck. The guy loses his family and he decides to fucking fight crime. In a way that, you know, like a vigilante. But, you know, nobody really agrees with that, but fuck. How about Diablo? How about fucking the Resistance? The video game? How about, what was it? Ghost of Nakashima, whatever that fucking game was. I can't remember. It just goes on and on and on, dude. Metal Gear Solid is the ultimate video game of self-sacrifice. Every fucking movie is about... Every fucking guy is about... Dude, Commando, fucking Time Cop, fucking The Predator. Everything... Dude, Arnold Schwarzenegger was just nothing but self-sacrifice. He was just like the epitome of self-sacrifice.
I'm a big, muscly man and you must get into the chopper.
Oh my God, I have big tits. No, excuse me. In the 80s, it was the other way around. Oh my God, I have size B tits.
Oh my God, with you and your size B tits, you must get onto the chopper.
Oh, dude. Every fucking movie was about self-sacrifice. Well, Predator. Fucking Predator was about a guy who literally lost all of his friends and he's just like, fuck this shit. Where did he fucking run to the chick? Where did he tell the chick? Run, get to the chopper. Did he fucking run? Did he just like to fucking take the brick? Take the shit off of me! And then she fucking took it off him? You fucking stay here! Distract him! No, he fucking... He was fucking pinned onto the ground and he fucking told the chick to run. Get to the only thing that is available to, of extract. And he fucking stayed behind and he fought the villain. How about this? Let's see. What was a movie that's very similar to whatever we just saw? The very first trailer that we just saw. See, it's a movie about power. Fuck, the only thing that I can think of is Matthew Broderick's The War. That one movie about the AI that fucking goes crazy and he's like, no, that can't be it. Oh, how about this? That one movie about the kid who has a who has like a paycheck and he could just go crazy with it, right? I didn't even fucking watch that movie. Like, I barely saw the fucking trailer. I didn't get a chance as a kid to watch all the movies from the 90s and the 80s. The movies that I obsessed with was RoboCop and Terminator. And La Bamba. Alright? I saw those three movies over and over again, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles because 2020 Video and Boozo's and Huntington Park were the only fucking movie rental videos that literally were open. For those of you who don't know what Boozo's and 2020 Video was, let me give you an example of 2020 Video. 2020 Video was like, Blockbuster. It was like Blockbuster, dude. That shit was huge. It was enormous. It was the very first Blockbuster of, but before Blockbuster was Blockbuster. It had like nine tight, like, dude, if you wanted to watch Child's Play, it had nine copies of Child's Play. It had a whole horror section. And it had a curtain over that horror section. It had a... What was that one movie? Something of Death? Ah, fuck. I can't remember. Something of Death. Faces of Death. That's what it was. All of them. The whole fucking series. It had George A. Romero's fucking all of his horror movies, all the zombie films, all of, dude, all the entire fucking Nightmare on Elm Street, fucking Halloween, all those fucking movies were on the shelf, and it had a curtain over them. You had to be a certain age to get in there. It didn't have a pornography section, it had a horror section, and you couldn't get in there unless you were a certain age. I think it was like 17 or 16. And then it had a kids section, right? Like Reading Rainbow and all that other shit. Fucking Care Bears. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was my thing. And it had a whole, like, shelf for that. It had all the fucking... My point is that 2020 Video was the shit. Right? It had everything. Anime from fucking Japan. It had a whole fucking anime section. Before anime was anime. It had a whole fucking anime section. It was the coolest spot in Huntington Park. And then the rival to that was Boozo's Video, which was literally someone's fucking... I swear to God, it was someone's living room. It was their living room. You walked in and it was someone's living room. They had a couch. You get to fucking have a soda or chips or whatever. And it had a kids section and an adult section, and that was it. the kids would come in, they'd pick out their videos, and the adults would come in, and you had like a 3-day grace. And the only thing that you had was a flimsy ass fucking business card as your patron ticket. That's what it was like back then. And if the fucking video was there, it was there. And if it wasn't, it wasn't there. And you had to fucking wait. Either you go to the movie theater and pay the $5, or you go to Buzo's Videos and pay $1.50. That was the fucking deal. And guess what? If you paid the $5 that it took to, you know, watch it at the movie theater, you got popcorn, 2 sodas, and the fucking movie. Plus, you got an extra day to fucking rent it out. So it was like a day and a half. Something like that. And the day and a half was like literally flexible to 3 days. Like it literally just, it was flimsy as fuck. So I'm thinking about this back in the day, right? Like how fucking cool shit was. And I'm looking back at these new videos that are coming out for these women that are like basically saying, "Hey, we're proud, we're strong, we're queer, and we're proud of it." And it's like, what the fuck? What the fuck do you have to be proud of? What the fuck are you showing us? Suicide Squad sucked dick. The Harley Quinn movie was just nothing but spinning tires. Every movie that I've ever seen that was directed and written for women or by women or... Dude, how about this? Every Kathleen Kennedy product that has ever come out has been nothing but dog shit. Everybody keeps telling me that, the first 2 seasons of The Mandalorian were amazing up until when? Kathleen Kennedy stuck her fat ass fucking nose in? Oh, that's no surprise. You were expecting something different? Breaking Bad was amazing up until... Dexter, you know, the murderer was amazing up until... Rick and Morty was amazing up until... Yeah, I get it, dude. I get it. What my point is to you is that... Are you shocked? Why? Here's the thing that I realized. Like, I was having this epiphany as I was driving around town. Think about life as a line. Me and Undead Chronic are in line. Kind of like parachutists, right? We're waiting to be deployed. And guys like Pop, Terrence Pop, guys like fucking Red Pill Married, guys like Hammerhand, guys like... take your pick, Sandman or whoever the fuck. Those guys have shot their shot. The shoot has come out. Right? Sorry, I just thought of a conversation. I'll tell you in a second. They've shot their shot. Their parachute has come out, and they realize that when they touch down at the ground, there's nothing but pain and misery at the bottom. And then when they come back onto the fucking flight, they're telling guys like me and Undead Chronic. And Undead Chronic is like, dude, no hymen, no diamond, right? That's like saying, hey, no backup shoot. No fucking deployment, right? While every fucking veteran is jumping back on the fucking flight, screaming "Blood on the risers," guys like me and Undead Chronic are being like, "No, dude, we've got this new formula." No, man, not every chick is fucking crazy. There's good chicks out there. How many times have I said that? Every single one of you guys have heard me say that. There's good women out there. Oh, they're working with their dads. They're working with their family. They're working with their... You know what I mean? That redneck shit. Oh, no. You just got to get yourself a good, wholesome, fucking good quality girl. Right? That still fucking works with her family. Right? We're like, guys like me and Undead Chronic are still fucking trying to come up with this new formula. Like, oh no, we got the answer. We got the answer that you folks don't. See, this is where you guys fucked up. You guys fucked up because you met her at a bar, you met her at a library, you met her at a convention for nerds. You met her when she was at her lowest point, and then all of a sudden she got a tit injection. Like, dude, we got you guys figured out, and then we're trying to, like, how do I explain this? We're trying to prove you guys wrong, like, prove your formula wrong, the MGTOW formula, and pretend like you guys are wrong. Right? And then we'll not pretend. We're just trying to figure out our own way. Without fucking, you know, losing faith. But the thing is that you guys have already parachuted and touched down and realized, like, dude, it doesn't matter where you jumped off from. Your quadrants could be, you know, she had the best fucking pussy. She had the best fucking parents. She had the best fucking relationship with her dad. She had the best fucking, she had her mom and her dad. She had this, she had that. It doesn't matter where you guys jumped off from. She still divorced you, took half your shit. And now I'm realizing, oh, fuck. Now it's my turn. And I don't want to fucking jump. And Undead Chronic is willing to jump. That fucking idiot is still willing to fucking, oh, as long as I get my fucking goth fucking virgin. And yeah, I'm going to talk shit about him because... Dude, they're warning us, and you're still willing to jump. I'm gonna grab that motherfucker by the collar before he ever decides to. Dude, I'll message his ass. I'll find him if I have to. At the wedding, I'll fucking flash my dick, my 13-inch dick, and fucking be like, "Look at what you're missing out on, bitch." And have her divorce him. Because, dude, I will fucking refuse to let that motherfucker perish. Even though I don't see eye to eye with him at all. I refuse to let him fucking... I'm sorry, man. Every single one of you men have gone through something. Every single one of you men that are subscribed to me have gone through something fucking very, very, very deep and very emotional. And for guys like me and Undead Chronic to just shrug it off and be like, nah, it's no big deal. We'll move on. Doesn't work that way. My problem is that my generation still tries to find a way out. And that comes from hopeful thinking. And that hopeful thinking comes from the very women that raised us. Doesn't it? Doesn't it? Women are very hopeful. I already made a video about this. And this is what I love about them, is that they're very hopeful creatures. they hope and wish. And here's the thing, is that there's hoping and hopeful. Now, you guys can come up with your own definitions for what those are. But hoping is a matter of action, and hopeful is a matter of just waiting. Just sitting and wait. And hoping is a matter of just like, dude, if I continue to go down this path, maybe shit will be better. And hopeful is in the sense of like, if I remain stagnant, maybe shit will get better at some point. Does that make any fucking sense at all? And can any of you men relate to any of what I just said? In that one moment. Because that's exactly where Undead Chronicle and me are at right now. We're trying to figure out a formula that you guys have not figured out. You know, Blood on the Risers kind of thing. We're trying to deploy our chute thinking like, hey, our fucking chute is gonna... We're gonna land someplace that you guys haven't. How about no hymen, no diamond? And then, you know? And then in my case, it's like, as long as I play the game and I don't get married and I cut my dick off and if I, you know, do all this other well, not my dick, but, you know, if I cut my balls and I do this and I do that, if I do this zigzag twirly twirl along, you know, if I do this halo fucking jump of just, you know what I mean? If I do this halo dive of fucking finding pussy, maybe it won't affect me. And here's the thing about what I love about you men is that no matter how hard I try to navigate through that, I always look at my subscription count. And I realize how much of a fucking idiot I am. And it grows. And every time it grows, I realize how much of a fucking fool I am. And I'm like, dude, every time it grows, like, there's one guy, there's one spectator fucking, like, laughing his ass off or hoping for the, like, got they got their fingers crossed and they're hoping for the best. 75 and counting, baby. And I'm like, all right, lost one. Oh, thank God, that's one guy that fucking doesn't want to see me fall. Oh, shit. I got two more motherfuckers that are subscribed to me now. Those motherfuckers are like, those motherfuckers definitely got their binoculars on and they're just waiting. They're just waiting. I can't wait to see this motherfucker hit the button. I went from, oh yeah, these narcissists are fucking blah, 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 to all of a sudden, what? What would I say? Oh my God, this bitch has my fucking balls by... She's fucking trying to take half my shit and I don't have anything. I don't know what I would say. But my point is that you guys have already gone through the ringer and I'm trying to desperately... pretend like there's good women out there. And then I see movies like this, right? Like the one that we saw before. And I realize, like, dude, it's not about that. It's not about that. It's about fame, glory, and power. And here's the thing. Women, back in the day, my grandmother used to tell me this. She used to tell me back in the day, when I was young, all I used to listen to was soap operas on the radio. Chago is my grandfather. His name is Santiago Pedro de Leon, right? And he gave birth to my father. the youngest of five boys and one girl. Yes, my last name is De Leon. And I don't know, you could put spaces on it, you can capitalize it, dude, it doesn't matter. My point is that this man married my grandmother when she was 14. She picked him, dude. My grandfather was just a worker on the field, minding his own business. He was, how old was he? 24 years old. Smoking cigarettes. She was horny for this motherfucker. And he was like, dude, you're way too young for me. And she's like, no, I'm not. Apparently, she raped him. Like, the way she tells the story, she fucking raped him. So she picks him, right? And then what winds up happening, they create this family that gives birth to me. And throughout that time, my grandmother tells me that she used to listen to soap operas. Stories on the radio. And she knew that they were stories. Because they had dramatizations, they had fucking music. It was like, I don't know if you guys have ever played Max Payne, the video game, but at one point, you know what? Hold on.
Previously on Lords and Ladies.
Lady Amelia, Marquis Valentine asks for an audience.
Thank you, Lawrence.
My lady.
My lord.
And now, an all-new episode of Lords and Ladies, brought to you in part by Acer Corporation.
My lady.
My lord.
My lady, there is a matter of great importance I must bring to your attention.
My lord, there is?
Indeed, my lady, there is indeed. From the very first moment we met, upon that distant forest path, there has been sunlight in the autumn leaves blazing like the colors of your hair.
Oh, my lord, you should not speak so.
But, my lady, I must.
My lord, no, I forbid you. This cannot be, this must not be.
But why, my love, why?
My lord, it is too dreadful. Do not force me to speak the words.
My lady, I beg of you, I must know. I would rather die than not know.
Yes, my lord, we should both be dead, for this shame is too great for the living. My lord, I am... My lord, I am your long-lost sister!
So that's what my grandmother used to watch. And for whatever fucking reason, this new generation that steps in decides that The View, right? This, they take the soap opera propaganda and drama of culture and combined it together to create mid-crisis women to comment on the culture of today, much like Steve Harvey. But here's the thing. You have the bitches from The View commenting that men aren't stepping up and doing anything. And then you have Steve Harvey doing the same fucking thing. What the fuck do you mean? All the bitch has to do is just step up. What was it? All the bitch has to do is step up and just create another you. Oh, really? What about mirroring my principles and ethics? Huh? What? Huh? Fuck it. Fuck is that? principles and ethics. That's, you know, things that, you know, things that we champion, you know, like honor, integrity, you know, valor. Oh, no. We just do nigga shit, like get pissed off when somebody cuts us off on the freeway. Like if somebody don't give us a discount right off the fucking gate. If they talk to us all fucking wrong and shit. And then somebody try to step up and try to be fucking manly, more manly than we. Then we try to outshoot the motherfucker. Yeah, so then why the fuck would... Then why the fuck, like, dude, seriously, like, why the fuck would I try to bring up a family in this fucking... I feel bad, dude. I feel like shit. I feel like shit every fucking day because check this out. Remember when I told you earlier in this fucking video that I would talk about this, like, it was like this one scene. Basically... I went to 7-Eleven and I got myself a beer so I can record this video. And there's this girl, right? There's this girl and she, dude, I've been hitting on her for a while. She's so fucking cute. And she's mouthy. She's my kind of girl, right? And then finally I just decided to poke at her to figure her out. I grab my beer, which is a Four Loko, which is not, I'm not fucking proud of it. Shut up. You're not allowed to fucking say anything about it. I grab a Four Loko and then I walk up to the counter. And I'm like, "Hey. Oh wow, you got your hair curled." Yeah, I do. "No, oh, you must be that must be from last night. You must have had a fun night." "Yeah, I did." And I'm, you know, of course, wringing my shit and doing all the whole thing, right? "All right. Well, where did you and your boyfriend go?" "Actually, it was me and my friend." "Oh, really? Which friend? Was it a guy?" "No, it was a girl." "Ah, there you go. Girls getting ready for girls." "Well, yeah, we want to look pretty for each other." And I was like, "Of course. Of course you want to look pretty because you're in competition with each other." "No, we're not in competition with each other. We're trying to look nice for each other." "No," and then this is where I said, "Oh, really? You're trying to look nice for each other?" "Yeah." And I was like, "Okay. Why don't you look this nice for your boyfriend?" "I do look this nice for my boyfriend." "Then why do you look nice for your girlfriend?" "It's because, like, you guys look like bums when you got..." And I was like, "Yeah, I like the way I'm dressed now. And by the way, I was dressed in a camouflage hoodie, baggy jeans, and then fucking gay-ass work boots. And the jeans look like baby blue, torn, fucking skinny jeans for a fat fuck. So I look like shit. I look like dog shit." And then I said, "So let me get this straight. You dress up for your girlfriend?" "Yeah." "Do you dress up for your boyfriend? "Yeah." "What? No," she said, "yeah, I dress up for my girlfriend. Of course I do." And I said, but you girls, why do you dress up for your girlfriend when you don't even approach guys?" "Yeah, I approach guys." And I'm like, No, you don't. She's like, "Well, the reason why I, like, you guys don't get approached is because you guys dress like shit." And then I said, "Okay. So let me get this straight. If I dress good, you're going to approach me?" She's like, "Well, it depends." And then I said, "What does it depend?" right? And then she said, well, I like guys that are submissive, that are this, that are that. And I was like, so you don't approach guys. You don't approach guys that are masculine, that are fucking dominant, that are fucking, you know what I mean? You guys know what I mean. And she was like, well, no, of course I don't. And I was like, well, there you go. You approach fucking losers and all this other shit. So there, you just proved my point. You don't approach fucking guys that are domineering. You approach guys that are fucking losers. I don't know, dude. I might have explained that story like shit. But basically, in the beginning of the story, I explained to her, like, dude, you don't approach, you, like, women don't approach, and men do. And she was like, yeah, women do approach. And I was like, okay, well, go ahead and explain to me the situation where you approached. And she was like, well, I approached my boyfriend. My boyfriend was fucking, you know, he's 6'5", and fucking, and I was like, really? Where was he at? Oh, he was by himself, and he was alone, and he was... And I was like, yeah, exactly. You're not going to approach a 6'5" guy who's fucking built as fuck in a tuxedo, you know, like fucking with a bunch of bitches, loud as fuck as you. Like, you're going to approach the fucking docile motherfucker. She's like, yeah, of course I am. Of course I'm going to approach the docile guy. And I was like, exactly. You're not going to approach guys. You're going to approach the fucking weaker sex. Well, yeah, I'm dominant. I'm a dominant girl. And I was like, okay, so exactly. So shut the fuck up. Like, you're not going to approach guys. You're going to approach pussies. Shut the fuck up. And here's the thing, guys. She is so weak. She is so fragile compared to my presence. And here's the thing, guys. My presence, compared to you guys, on the other side of this fucking mic, on the other side of this screen, are probably more dominant than I am. So just imagine that. I'm dealing with this shit. Me and Undead Chronic are lined up to this shit. We're lined up with women that are trying to fucking dominate the weaker sex. And then trying to act like a boss-ass bitch when they fucking manage to tame a guy. And it's like, nah, motherfucker, you're not a fucking boss-ass bitch. Guys like me have had it. I don't want to be a fucking faggot for the rest of my life. When I try to invite my ex back into my life, I thought that... You know what I thought? MGTOW was wrong. I learned the red pill, and I was able to use it to my advantage. Nah, bro. You know what the MGTOW is? You know what the red pill is? The red pill is an awakening. And MGTOW is your only destination, dude. MGTOW is your only path in life. It sucks. It fucking sucks. And I'm watching guys like Terrence Pop and Red Pill Married and fucking Hammerhand just deploy and deploy and deploy and redeploy and redeploy and tell me like, hey, bro, at the bottom of this hill, it sucks. Don't do it. And I keep putting my dick out there thinking that it's kind of like a fishing rod, right? Thinking that I got the formula that's gonna be different. Thinking that I'm not gonna get the chicken pox. I'm not gonna get the COVID. I'm not gonna get the divorce. I'm not gonna get the, you know. I'm gonna land someplace different. I'm gonna hit the jackpot. I'm going to hit the Virgin Mary of pussy, and she's not going to leave me. Nah. I get it. I get it. And I'm such a fucking idiot for trying so hard to deny it. And you're going to hear it, dude, from me, for the rest of this channel. You're going to hear me debating, like, rather, like, oh, yeah, well, there's good girls out there. And then, oh, man, that was fucking MGTOW's, you know, the right way to go. You're going to hear it for as long as I live on this channel. Me debating, seesawing. And I hope that you guys learn from my lesson that this battle lasts between us two, good and evil, me and you. That's a Demi Borgir song. In any case, guard your heart.